seated tonight, would you open your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. This coming week is Thanksgiving week, and we do have so much to be thankful for, and that is such a valuable word, thankfulness. Thankfulness is the soil from which joy grows. Thankfulness. I trust that you're thankful in your heart, and you'll find things this coming week to be grateful for. And I do trust that God will bless you as you turn to Him with a heart full of thankfulness. Luke 17. We'll begin reading with verse number 11, and we'll read through verse number 19. Luke 17, 11 through 19. It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Let us pray. Father, speak to our hearts tonight and help us, Lord, to be grateful. You have said, Lord, that one of the earmarks of the end times and the perilous days that would come is that men would be unthankful and unholy. I pray, Lord, that may not be said of any of us here tonight, but that from our hearts might overflow the spirit of thanksgiving and praise and worship to you because of your goodness to us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus and his disciples were traveling to Jerusalem, and going through Samaria and Galilee, they encountered 10 men suffering from leprosy. These men stood at a distance because by law, they had to stay far away from healthy people lest they contaminate anyone with their disfiguring disease. Mosaic law enforced by the Jewish leaders declared lepers to be unclean and therefore not allowed into the temple to worship God. They could no longer live with their families, and they were forced to remain outside the city. The law also required them to rend their clothes, to bare their head, and put a covering upon their upper lip and cry, "Unclean, unclean," when anyone came near. You can read about that in Leviticus 13. Their lives were all about distance. Distance from their religious identity, distance from their family, distance from their community. And so the Bible says that these 10 men who were lepers stood afar off. They stood at a distance, calling out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." What is so significant is that Jesus responded to their plea by choosing to heal them at a distance. He simply told them to go show themselves to the priest, and the 10 men were completely healed of their leprosy as they went on their way. Now, Jesus obviously didn't do this because he was afraid to be near them. After all, he had already healed one leper by touching him. Mark 1, 41 and 42 says, "There came a leper to him, and beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion," the Bible says, "put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed." But here, Jesus demonstrated that his power to heal is not limited by distance, whether physical distance or spiritual distance. Sin might keep us in the shadows and hinder us from finding real intimacy with God and with other people. But Christ has the power to overcome the distance that separates us. Would you agree with that? And that's what he wanted to do for these 10 lepers. Yet only one seemed interested in actually developing a friendship and relationship with Jesus. They wanted the blessing, but not too interested in the blesser. And the Bible says that this one man happened to be a Samaritan. The Jews looked down upon this half-breed race as unclean outsiders whose inferior spiritual status excluded them from temple worship. But when this Samaritan realized that Jesus had miraculously healed and restored his body, he alone came back praising God with a loud voice. Not only that, but he fell on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. Sadly, the other nine, Jews who would now be in good standing in their communities, Jews who would now be allowed back into the temple, they were so eager to get their religious status back and their social standing back that, ironically, they missed God himself. But isn't that true of a great many folks today? They seek God in a crisis, and they cry out to him when there is a great need, but they have no interest in developing a relationship with him. No interest in returning to give him praise and glory and thanksgiving after prayers are answered on a continuing fashion. So Jesus asked his disciples, probably with great hurt and sadness, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. It was the Jews who grew up constantly hearing about the importance of giving thanks and glory to God. It was the Jews who were taught to express gratitude as a significant part of their corporate worship and even their sacrificial ritual. In that ritual, there was involved praise and thanksgiving. And furthermore, Jewish tradition included repeating over and over all the blessings God had showered on Israel in the past. You read Psalms 105 and Psalms 113 that talks about praising the Lord. Even your bulletin today, taken from Psalms 136. Psalms 136 begins with, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." And this is recited after the Passover meal in the Jewish religion. And in every verse of that chapter of 26 verses, Each verse ends with this phrase, "For His mercy endureth forever." Aren't you glad about God's mercy? Amen. Amen. But you know, maybe familiarity with the Jewish phrases and praises was the problem. The poet Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, "If the stars came out only once a year, everyone would stay up all night just to watch them." How many of you tried to get a look at the blood moon a few weeks ago? Something that happens just way once in a while. We tend to ignore the things that are always present or that are always available to us, don't we? A lot of things we don't think about being thankful for. I've spoken to you about being in Vietnam and how I found out early on that you can't sleep with it raining in your face. And I found out in a graphic way, very graphic way, that it's important to have a roof over your head when it's raining. When you're out 24/7, you need a roof over your head at some point. It's easy to take those things for granted. No matter how wonderful they are, no matter how simple they might be. I told the Lord, if I can just get out of the rain, if I can just have a roof over my head, I'll never complain. Have you stopped lately to thank God that you can go home and just have a roof over your head? And you had four walls and a door that you can lock. And that gives you a whole lot to thank the Lord for, doesn't it? When we are accustomed to material blessings, we hardly count them as blessings until we begin to lose them. And this applies to health and financial comfort or just an easy access to all of life's necessities. I was just thinking casually one day, and I wrote down some things. You know, we turn our lights on at home. We turn our clocks off in the morning when they're alarming. Did you know that 1.6 billion people in the world live without electricity? You can go out of your house and you can check your cell phone or your BlackBerry or your smartphone or your iPad and your email and your voicemail, and we live in such a convenient technological age. Have you thought to give thanks for the comforts and the blessings of being able to call your loved one and hear from them during the day? Loneliness. Did you know 1/4 of people surveyed say they have no one to talk to? Tonight, when you go into your bathroom, you ought to thank God just for your bathroom. Did you know that lack of sanitary plumbing is one of the major causes of early childhood death and disease? You turn the faucet on to get a drink of water, one of several faucets in your house. For a quarter of the world's population, getting a glass of clean water is never an option. And that's why 2 million people die every year from diseases contracted simply by drinking water. With every sip of pure water, you ought to give thanks. Lace up your shoes and step outside in the morning. Go for a walk or a morning run. Take in the beautiful sunrise and silently pray, "Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for the ability to see. Thank you, God, for the ability to enjoy the beauty of nature." Hey, you see that bird up on the limb singing? Well, that little bird, it throws its little wings back and its little chest out, and it just sings from the depths of its soul. It puts everything it's got into that song. You know, that's how we ought to sing and praise to our God. We ought to put everything we've got into it. But while you're hearing that little bird sing and you're seeing it enjoy life so much, you might want to just thank God for your eyesight and for the fact that you're able to hear. After exercising, you might jump into your car and drive to get breakfast, read the morning news, or hear it on TV or radio or the internet. Don't forget the newspaper photos you saw some time back of those starving Haitian families that were making cookies out of dirt and salt and shortening to stave off the hunger pains. Takes only the headlights of a single hour in our day to confirm that we have a lot to be thankful for. Even our ability to own and to read the words in our Bible in beautifully formatted and printed form confirms that we are among the 25% most influential people in all the world. Not only influential, but affluent. We're rich and don't know it. In just 1 hour of reviewing our portfolio of wealth, we are reminded that we aren't necessarily prosperous because of what we have, but it's the measure of gratitude that we carry with us into the world that makes us rich. The Lord said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I know that's difficult for some of us. And that takes faith, doesn't it? It takes faith to give thanks to God in every situation. But I want to say to you that God's grace is sufficient for our needs, and we ought to thank Him for that grace and for that help in our time of need. When Jesus healed these men, He gave them more than physical health. He restored their independence. Before their encounter with Christ, lepers couldn't support themselves through a trade because the law prohibited them from coming near non-lepers. In Numbers chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, both male and female, verses 3 and 4, shall ye put out, without the camp shall ye put them, that they defile not their camps in the midst whereof I dwell. And the children of Israel did so, and put them out without the camps, as the Lord spake unto Moses, so did the children of Israel. So as a result, they were dependent on charity just to stay alive. But now these heretofore unclean men could re-enter society. They could earn a living. They could feed themselves and their families. Before, they hobbled around on whatever portion of their feet the disease had not eaten away, and now they could walk unreservedly through the village. They could re-enter their homes. They could again embrace their wives and their children like they could before they were locked in the grip of a debilitating disease. But now they were released from that prison to start life over in a newfound freedom. How sad that they would take such a gift as Jesus gave and run. How unthinkable that they did not go back to Jesus and give glory to God, thanking Him for His mercy and His grace. Because you see, everything about the gift they had just been given was fully dependent on the grace of the giver. Anthropologist Joel Gregory says that the Messiah tribe of Kenya has a fascinating way of expressing gratitude. He said they kneel, they put their foreheads to the ground, and literally say, "My head is in the dirt." In a similar way, the members of another tribe sit outside the home of a person they wish to thank and express their feelings with the words, "I sit on the ground before you." Psalms 136:1, "O give thanks unto the Lord." The word thanks is the Hebrew word yodah. It means to praise, to be thankful, to revere, to worship. Give thanks to the Lord. Interestingly, it's the same Hebrew word used for the attitude of confession. In Proverbs 28:13, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Confesseth is the same Hebrew word that means to praise, be thankful, to revere, to worship God as we acknowledge our need of His grace and His mercy. Gratitude is an act of humility, a confession that we need the Lord and that we're dependent upon Him. When we sincerely thank someone, we're acknowledging the fact that the person did something for which we could not do for ourselves. Now, this may be a healthy assault on our pride. Maybe that's the reason some people don't do it. They don't want to admit their need of anyone. But here's the thing. If we can't confess to God our deep need for what only He can do, we'll never be able to receive all that we truly need from Him. Consider what happened after the Samaritan went to thank Jesus for healing him. Jesus graciously received his gratitude and said to him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Now listen carefully. That word "whole" is a Greek word, sozo. It literally means saved, delivered, protected, safe. The word "healed," ia omahi, means cured, healed. The word "cleansed," katharizo, means to make clean, to purge. Now listen, if you are reading from an NIV version or an ESV version or a New King James version, you read, "Your faith has made you well," which misses entirely the truth that Jesus is trying to convey. Verse 17 tells us all 10 were cleansed. All 10 were made well, if you please. But the only one made whole, the only one saved, was the one who returned to glorify and worship God. The word sozo is the same word that describes how a person is forgiven and placed in a right relationship with God. It's the verse that is used in Luke 19:10 when the Bible says, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save," sozo, "that which was lost." So all your Bible versions are not the same. They don't all teach the same. And when you go buying different versions, you are at risk for not getting the entire truth of the Word of God. 9 of 10 lepers responded to their healing by running off so the priest could declare them legally clean and therefore acceptable to their community. But only one of the lepers was not only made physically well, but made whole. He was saved. Amen? He was saved. The Samaritan, the religious and social outcast, was able to receive the complete healing that Jesus alone could truly give. The healing of the body, yes, but also the healing of the heart and the soul and the mind and the spirit. He received something that the other 9 missed altogether. In returning to say, "Thank you, Lord," the Samaritan was the only one willing to acknowledge that the rest of his life was a gift, due entirely to the one who gave it to him. Our wonderful, wonderful physician. Yes, it's wonderful to be physically healed, but how much more wonderful is it to be spiritually healed, to be saved, to be given a new heart, and to be given literally the Spirit of Christ within us. We find it easy to thank God privately, don't we? But what about publicly confessing our gratitude? Our acts of humility are a gift back to Him that He delights in receiving. After all, love is a two-way relationship. The more we seek God's presence in our lives, the more we seek Him in prayer and in His Word, the more we'll see what He's doing around us, the more we'll feel compelled to give Him thanks in everything. Some time ago, I read a little story. It's kind of humorous. Man was not very well educated, and his manner was somewhat crude, but he became a Christian, his own fire for God, and he really was pestering the pastor about wanting to do something to be of genuine service to the Lord. After insisting that the pastor give him something to do, he was handed a list of 10 names and addresses of church members who had been out of church for some time and asked to contact them and see if he could get them back into the church services. Some on that list were prominent men in the city. Said the pastor, "Here is some stationery of the church. You can use this to write them some letters. Do your best and see if you can get them to come back to the church and to worship with us." The man accepted that challenge with enthusiasm and rugged determination. A few weeks later, a letter was received in the church office from a prominent physician in the city with a check enclosed and this little note: "Dear Pastor, enclosed is my check for $1,000 to make up for some of my missed contributions. I'm sorry I've missed so many worship services, but be assured that I will be present this Lord's Day and every Lord's Day following. I promise not to miss church services again unless I am providentially hindered." And it's signed W.R. Jones, M.D. And P.S., "Will you please tell your secretary there is only one T in dirty and no C in skunk?" What do we have to do to get people to come and give God the praise and the worship and the thanksgiving that He deserves? Do we need to call them skunks? Dirty skunks at that? God wants us to be grateful. He must feel by us as we feel by a spouse or a child or a friend who is genuinely appreciative of everything that we say and do. But the less we seek God, the less we communicate with Him, the less we will recognize Him as the source of our blessings. Instead of giving God the glory, we'll be saying something like this: I got the job because of the impressive way I performed at the interview. Or I was healed because I sought the best medical care available. But the Bible says that every good gift comes from above. Jesus didn't revoke His gift from the 9 lepers who failed to thank Him. As far as we know, they remained healed, cleansed of their leprosy. But when we take God's gifts and run, never confessing our gratitude, never thanking Him, never praising Him, never reverencing or worshiping Him in our lives, we miss out. We miss out on hearing Him say, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Just another way of saying, "Thy faith hath saved thee." We miss out on receiving the fullness of what Jesus desires to give when we're not thankful. Why, you would have thought all 10 would have returned with grateful hearts and thanksgiving on their lips, but not so. Only one came back. But when he chose to live and breathe with gratitude in his heart toward Christ, his faith qualified him to receive the greatest gift of all, the gift of salvation, and an intimate friendship with the giver of life himself. What about us? Have we been cleansed from the leprosy of sin? And have we returned to give thanks to the one who cleansed us? When we realize what our Savior has done for us, how can we respond with anything less than grateful worship and service and thanksgiving? Friday of this past week, I was by to see Sylvia. She has stage 4 stomach cancer. She's now wearing a colostomy, for those of you who know what that is. You know what she told me Friday? I met her in the hall as she was walking down the hall with her walker. She had bought some little, looked like little daisy blossoms, and there was a little hair ornament that had a little clip on it. You could clip it in your hair. And she had bought, I think she said, 25 of those, and she had passed them out, all but one. There was a little yellow one still in her bag. And she was looking for somebody to give that one to. She said, "Pastor, I've learned that if I'll thank the Lord for a good night's sleep before going to sleep, I'll sleep a lot better." I don't recommend counting sheep. I do recommend talking to the shepherd. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Don't miss out on the best that God has for you by being unthankful for what He's done, for what He's going to do. Lord Jesus, I thank You tonight I realize I haven't said all that needs to be said. But Lord, in our own feeble way, I trust that we've said something that will be a blessing to Your people. Help us to have an attitude of gratitude. In everything, give thanks. And Lord, even when we have to do it by faith, I pray You'll give us the faith to believe that all is going to be well as long as we yield our lives to You and just trust You to get us through the rough places. Thank You for our people. Thank You for the love that we feel in our church family. Again tonight, we thank You for the memories we have of Brother Dwayne. I know he would be here tonight, but he's with You. And would you tell him that we love him and that we miss him? And Lord Jesus, these that remain, especially of His immediate family, and yes, His church family too, would You remind us all that You love us and that You will never leave us or forsake us, and that You're here for us and You're here with us until the day that You call us home. Until that day, we thank You for what You're going to do in each of our lives. In the name of Jesus, we thank You.